The Guardian. Football Weekly.
Football Weekly, special wheat beer free edition. In today's supplement, Rooney, Wayne wants out. We've the latest on the disunited crisis, and mind those Scandinavian accents, we get the reaction from the fans outside Old Trafford. Elsewhere, Champions League midweek fixture special. Rangers take on Valencia, Real Madrid face Milan. Some big reputations are on the line, and so is Sid. All of that plus the odd post in this special second helping of podding. Football Weekly. Excellent. Well, hello again, listeners. And Kevin McCarra.
James.
Nice to see you, Kevin. It's been a while. You're stranger, you. And Sean Ingall.
Hello, James.
Hi, Sean. So much to talk about today. Item one, Rooney. Oh, I should just say, actually, thanks so much to the staff at the Fly-In Loaf Pub in Liverpool and all the lovely folk who came down to see us. And you may be wondering why we're now doing another pod afterwards, just because that was very much a one-off special, and with all the news and one or two bits that we weren't able logistically to bring in, we're just doing a little supplementary edition. One of those things that's happened since our visit to the Fly on the Loaf was Wayne Rooney coming out and saying, Kevin, you wondered where I was going with that. I want out of Manchester United. I think he banged his hand on the table as well. Kevin, you've been writing about this, haven't you?
Indeed, on a train, no less, last night. That's a curious thing. As I was writing hurriedly for the deadline on the train back from Liverpool last night, it occurred to me, why are we so shocked in a way that a player in his mid-20s might have tired of a particular club and want to try something new? Because we patronise him. We think he should live in the Northwest until the end of time and do what he's told till the end of time by Sir Alex Ferguson.
Well, Stam, Van Nistelrooy, Paul Ince, why is this one different?
Because he is different. I think we misinterpreted him. We think his shyness has been shyness as a youth was mistaken for stupidity. But then last Tuesday after the England game, he pointedly used the mixed zone afterwards to set everyone right about his ankle, and in the process to contradict Sir Alex Ferguson by saying, my ankle's fine. In other words, I'm not being picked, and that's simply the manager's excuse. And in that moment, you saw the genesis of troubles ahead, which we experienced yesterday.
Well, we have Sid's view on whether there's a destination in Spain for him shortly. Ben Green has been outside Old Trafford, though, to get the reaction of fans there. Let's hear what they had to say.
I'd be devastated, absolutely devastated. We can't afford to lose him at the moment. He needs to sort his head out, take a few days off, think about what he's got here. And unless he goes abroad, there's no other place to play football than Old Trafford in the Theatre of Dreams.
Given what's happened, he'll turn around again and he'll find his form. I think he's a brilliant lad. And I think his personal life has got nothing to do with, as soon as he hits that pitch, that's what he should be concentrating on. And knowing Rooney as he is, you know, if he's has a bad match, he's not happy. But I think, you know, he'll find his form again.
Listen to the manager. The manager has clearly stated that it's all bull. So I trust the manager.
I don't think he's settled at all with the problems he's got, and disagreement with the manager now seems to be the thing. If he moves, he might feel he'll play better.
Some of the papers are saying that he might be wearing sky blue. When should he leave? How would you feel about that?
Rubbish, absolutely rubbish.
It doesn't even bear thinking about. Tevez went there, he's done tremendously well there, you can't deny the player that. But for Rooney to go over to Man City, nah, can't see it. It's only be for money.
I think he'll go to Real Madrid. He'll go and join his mate Ronaldo, that's what I think.
I back the manager 100 million percent. The man has never done anything wrong for Manchester United. If he sees it's right for Manchester United, then you stand by the manager. He's the gaffer.
All right. Interesting reaction there, including one mature sounding woman who said, knowing Wayne as I do. What was your reaction there, Sean?
I'm slightly surprised that a lot of United fans think the media are just making this up. I mean, this is on the front pages, it's on the back pages, without sort of giving away who's pass this stuff on. It's clearly come from someone fairly senior among Wayne Rooney's camp, and it's quite, I think, orchestrated, quite coordinated.
Is this and the camp that was in the adverts that he was baked bean having the baked beans in?
Different camp.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it's clearly a bit taken United by surprise. Now, a lot can happen between now and January when the transfer window opens, but as things stand, Rooney wants to to leave Manchester United, and there are probably only a couple of clubs, Manchester City, Real Madrid, that I think could afford him and would want him.
You say as things stand, do you see him backtracking on this then?
Well, you never
Can
know how
you
things happen.
On something like that with Sir Alex?
I mean, I'm sure if, you know, if he starts enjoying his football again and just banging a couple of hat tricks, things might smooth over. But clearly at the moment he wants out, and Ferguson generally, you know, we've seen in the past with people like Van Nistelrooy, with people like Beckham, particularly Jaap Stam as well. It's usually you know, Fergie's way all the highway.
So. I think too, you can't really backtrack unless he signs a new contract. To say okay, I'm staying means nothing. If the clock is still running down towards the summer of what is it 2000 and
it's the end of next season.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Well, potential buyers, you know, caveat emptor, as Sid might say, might be concerned about the fact that he hasn't scored a goal from open play in 7 months. But let's dial up Sid now, actually, and hear whether that's in any way dampened the enthusiasm of certain large pocketed Real Madrid presidents. Sid Lowe.
Hello, James. How are you?
Hi, Sid. Listen, sorry, just before we come to you, Sean's got this update on the exciting Manchester United press conference that's taking place this afternoon.
Well, I've just been speaking to Andy Hunter, and basically all the journalists were packed in. It was announced a United partnership with UNICEF, and they made it quite clear that they weren't allowed to ask questions about Rooney directly. However, Sir Alex Ferguson did say that United's association with UNICEF was important because, quote-unquote, it has taught our younger players in particular to understand how lucky they are. They live a cocooned life in terms of their wealth and comfort.
You think there was a veiled dig at Wayne there, do you?
Well, possibly.
All right, then. Sid, what's the Spanish press been making of Wayne's outburst?
They've been quite excited about this. There's a belief in Spain, more or less, as we were talking about in the pod the other day, that Rooney is a player that, without any doubt at all, would interest Real Madrid. There were quotes from Jorge Valdano last night talking on Spanish TV saying that he was talking about Llorente as well as Rooney, saying, well, look, if we were to buy one of these players, where would we fit them in? But he said something that I thought was very, very interesting. He said, because we have two great strikers, Ronaldo and Gonzalo Higuain, who last year proved that they can score loads of goals. And of course, the question that most of us kind of had raising in our heads after he said that was that two great strikers, what about Benzema? And it was very interesting that he didn't include Benzema in that list. I know there's always a risk of reading too much into it, but I thought that was a significant thing to say. They have said, Real Madrid, on a couple of occasions, both Jorge Valdano and indeed Jose Mourinho, that they won't be buying anyone in the winter transfer window. And it's also true that Real Madrid were very reluctant to give Mourinho the money to buy a striker during this summer, which is what he really, really wanted. So I think some of the ingredients are there, but perhaps not all of them.
Sid, can I ask you about the budgetary thing? I mean, Real are always in debt. Is that ever a factor, or do they just magically find the money?
Well, it was a factor this summer, as I say, in so much as there were one or two key players that Mourinho wanted. Then he wanted a striker. When it reached that point, Real Madrid were telling him that there wasn't the money for a striker, that they couldn't go all out and spend the kind of cash that he wanted them to spend on a player like Drogba, that sort of striker, someone who can bring the ball down and can be a reference point up front. So in that sense, the money is a factor. I think we shouldn't overlook, much as we were very busy laughing at them for the folly of selling Guy and Robin and selling Wesley Snyder last year, and both of them reaching the Champions League final. But we shouldn't overlook the fact that decision was at least in part financial as well, because as Jorge Valdano said, the reality of the world is that if you sign someone like Kaká and you sign people like Benzema and Cristiano Ronaldo, you have to make some money somewhere. And Madrid were trying to recuperate at least 100 million, which they didn't quite do. But they did have to sell those players for economic reasons as well as political ones. So yeah, it's true that there are financial and budgetary limitations for Real Madrid. But it's also true that when they really, really needed the money 2 years ago, they just borrowed it. They believe they're financially stable enough, and I think they wouldn't balk at borrowing again. The other thing in all of this is we're talking about the money. But if Rooney is in his last 18 months of his contract, he's not going to be that expensive anyway.
Particularly if, as Paul Doyle was suggesting last week, that with Sir Alex Ferguson being a very big fan of Karim Benzema, they might be able to do some kind of exchange thing. Ooh, Sean Ingle waving a finger.
Considering that Benzema was implicated in the whole underage prostitute scandal with Ben Arfa and Frank Ribery,
yeah.
I mean, surely frying pan fire.
Well, there is that. There is that, isn't there?
Continuity, surely, is what you're looking for.
Right. Is it in any way cooling their ardour, Sid, the fact that Wayne can no longer trap a ball, let alone score a goal from open play?
Not really, because bear in mind that Spain's a country that watches a lot of international football. The English league is spread across two teams, channels in the country at the moment. Rooney is very well liked for what he's done in the Champions League. They do think he's very good, although it is true, of course, that Spaniards took a kind of almost perverse pleasure in seeing how bad he was and how bad England were with Fabio Capello during the World Cup. I mean, that will make one or two people think, well, is he quite as good as we previously thought? But I don't think there's any doubt that he's a big name player. And as I say, from Real Madrid's point of view, he's about, I would say, given the current contractual situation, if he's absolutely determined to leave Manchester United, I would say he would be about the cheapest superstar available right now. So from Real Madrid's point of view, that fits very well. There is one there's one caveat in all of this, which is that Jose Mourinho now is taking the decisions. But yes, there is a certain degree of club decision making on some players, for example, Mesut Ozil. The same is true of Pedro Leon and Sergio Canales, both effectively sealed their deals for Real Madrid before Mourinho was even coach. So there's a degree of club decision making, but things have to go through Mourinho now. And of course, we don't know for sure how much Mourinho likes Mourinho. I mean, I imagine that he likes him a lot. I imagine that he thinks he's a very, very good player. But that's not the kind of striker that he's been looking for until now. There's been talk more of players like Llorente, Drogba, those kind of players who can, as I said before, bring the ball down and get others into play. So maybe there's a slight dampening there, but I think there's a general sense that, yeah, Rooney would be a very good player for Real Madrid.
All right, but from what you're saying, doesn't necessarily sound like that's the obvious destination for him. We mentioned Man City. We'll talk perhaps more about that in a second or two. In the meantime, Sid, since we've got you on the line, I wanted to ask about two intriguing Champions League games coming up this midweek. Hey, Rangers-Valencia. Rangers are off to a real flyer, aren't they, Kevin?
Rangers are extremely well organised. People saw them at Old Trafford. I mean, they're a very disciplined team and hard to play against. Although, at home, if they have to take initiative, that's more of a challenge for them.
Right, OK. What's the Spanish perspective on Valencia's trip there to Ibrox?
Well, I think it's been tempered to some extent by the fact that they weren't able to beat Manchester United at home, and more to the point, weren't able to pick up any points at all. They felt they deserved a bit more. They went into that game, I think, although it wasn't ever publicly stated by Valencia, that they were thinking to themselves, well, a couple of draws with us and Manchester United, that will keep everybody else at bay and we can go through as the top two teams in the group. There's a little bit of concern. Bear in mind as well, the other kind of point of context in all of this is the fact that Spain had just come off the back of going to Scotland and struggling much more than they expected at Hampden Park against the Scots. The Spanish were hugely impressed by the atmosphere. A lot of people here talking about how good they thought Flower of Scotland was before the game. So I think there's a sense that Scottish teams can cause you problems with their physical approach. But Valencia are a pretty tough side as well, physically and tactically. They're relatively defensive in their approach, but they've got good players when they do spring breaks. I don't think they're massively worried about Rangers, but I think that probably the attitude is slightly more cautious than it would have been two or three weeks ago.
Real Madrid, in the meantime, are facing their old friends, AC Milan, the two most titled in European Cup terms, teams, head-to-head once again, and Milan have a terrific record against the Merengues. What's the view in Madrid? Are they worried about Ibrahimovic, Sid, are they?
No, they're excited.
Are they?
I think because of the fact that Madrid have won their two Champions League games already, I think there was a concern with the group when the draw was made, because Auxerre looked like they might be relatively tough. Ajax looked like they may be relatively tough, considering we're talking about teams out of the third and fourth pot in a Champions League draw. And that's always what causes problems, not necessarily the other big team, but what the other two sides are like. So I think some of the sting has been taken out of it because Madrid have got 6 points on the board already. I think that's led to this being a game that I think arouses the excitement rather than concern for Real Madrid fans, although, of course, they recognise that they could be beaten. But as I say, I think more than anything else, it's a game that everybody's looking forward to. It sounds like a cliche, but it really is true that this is one that everyone's thinking, oh, this is brilliant, we can't miss it. And we can't miss it because we'll have fun rather than we can't miss it because we're going to go out there and absolutely battle them.
Real Madrid, have they not scored 10 goals in their last two fixtures or something crazy?
Yes, boring Real Madrid.
Yeah, what's happened there?
Malaga. Well, I mean, to some extent, it was likely to happen in that they were creating lots of chances. Well, actually, I think creating is perhaps overplaying it. They were getting lots of chances in the first three or four games of the league and wasting them. They didn't look particularly fluid in their football, but they did have opportunities. In the last couple of games, they put them all away. They beat Deportivo 6-1. I can't express enough how absolutely rubbish Deportivo La Coruña are. They are an appallingly bad side. So maybe that's one little factor to take into account. They went to Malaga and had a couple of shots against the post, then scored with a third really good chance. And then they were just far, far too strong. And I think they will be too strong for most sides in Spain this year. There is one other factor in all this, which is that Madrid are now a point ahead of Barcelona. it's difficult to know whether they're actually better than Barcelona right now, because Barcelona have played Valencia, Athletic Bilbao and Atletico Madrid and beaten them all. Madrid are yet to play against a really genuinely good side.
All right then. Well, it'll be an interesting clash, that one, then, in the Champions League. Sid, thank you very much for joining us today, and look forward to getting your reaction on Thursday.
Okie dokie. Later, wankers.
What? Later, wankers?
I've been put up to this. Have you not seen the fantastic Fox News report of Wayne Rooney's departure from Manchester United today?
No.
It's the most brilliant thing ever. So it's a picture of the website, obviously, and down the left-hand side, the headlines. And the headline is, Later, wankers, Wayne Rooney to leave United.
And they just don't understand what it means.
Some kind of classic English expression or something. Brilliant. So, and James, this is on... later, wankers.
Yeah, later, wanker. as they say on Fox News. That's extraordinary. Thank you so much for that, Sid.
My pleasure, as always.
Yeah,
quite literally.
Literally, thank you.
No, hang on. I'm calling you it. Oh, no, so it will be James's pleasure, not mine.
Yeah, my pleasure, surely. Couple of posts. Ugu Foray says, what's the story with Dundee? What is the story with Dundee, Kevin?
Bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's that simple, yeah.
Well, I mean, the sum owed to the tax man is about 300,000-odd, which is substantial but feasible. But there are larger debts behind that, reaching to about 2 million, which, given the scale of the club, is a lot. But
what will happen to them now?
Well, I suspect they'll muddle through. I mean, I always think that of a football club. So few of them ever actually die. I mean, thankfully, in Scotland, people still talk about Third Lanark going bust in the 1960s, which is actually a measure of how unusual it really is.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I hope I'm not being kind of too optimistic, but...
But a lot of people left unpaid in the meantime, no?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the terrible things about football. I mean, it's the very cavalier attitude about building up debts in the first place. I mean, maybe they ought to be monitored more regularly and stopped from even getting anywhere near that position.
Yeah. Nick Greaves posting in this morning, Monday morning, saying, Serie A aficionados, was, as Glendenning kind of stated, the Eto'o versus Cagliari incident, the first time a referee had stopped a match for racial abuse in Italy. Would this make Eto'o some kind of officiating Rosa Parks figure? It's not the first time that a game has been stopped. I certainly remember a game that was stopped after Lazio fans, you'll be surprised here, unveiled a banner saying "Honor to the Tiger Arkan" in a homage to the alleged Serbian war criminal.
I don't think there's much alleged about it.
All right, so the and he's unlikely to sue in his current predicament momentarily. But specifically for racist booing, and this is, I believe, the first time it happened. And Cagliari are a little bit repeat offenders about this, and so it was brilliant that it happened. And the game continued after, you know, they'd silenced the minority who were doing this, and Eto'o scored an absolutely stunning goal. I say stunning, wasn't as good as David Silva's, though. Ooh, David Silva's goal. Sean, two words on David Silva's goal?
It was special. That's three, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I think it merits as many, an unlimited word count. There you go. Kevin, you are departing for Milan.
I am indeed.
Into Spurs.
Yes, indeed. It'll be quite interesting to see Rafa Benitez again. It was not that long since we last saw him, really. But it's a heck of a test for Spurs. I mean, they've done well so far, especially with the heavy victory over 20 Enschede at White Hart Lane. But they do have a wonderful squad, don't they? I mean, there's really options and so on there.
Well, you know, they're missing a couple of players, but they're players who perhaps haven't played the role you would have expected so far through the season, particularly Diego Milito, whereas Eto'o has been, with his newfound role at the centre of the attack, has been absolutely fundamental.
He was playing off the front, wasn't he, previously? Yeah.
He was playing out on the left and very unhappy about it, and doing a lot of tackling back. And it was seen as a testament of Mourinho's man management skills that he was able to get Eto'o, who's someone certainly at Barcelona they didn't think of as a workhorse, to put in so much of a shift for the team. One or two interesting questions, actually, regarding this fixture out on the flank. You know, it's season, maybe the weak spot of Spurs, their left back area. Is that going to swing in Inter's favour, or is the idea of Gareth Bale charging down Spurs' left, is that going to...
Well, I think that's the idea. I mean, Gareth Bale's cut out for that. And he's become much stronger, I think, in the past year or two. He's fought a nice left foot, but now seems far more dynamic. And they'll be hoping to try and pin back Maicon rather than letting him run at them. But away from home, though, that is a challenge.
Yeah. Inter have won all, the last five at home in the Champions League, which is... they've really turned that around. It'll be interesting to see how that game goes. What's your prediction?
I think it's a tough one to call. I was looking at the odds earlier and sort of Inter odds on, as you'd expect, but it wouldn't shock me if Spurs went there and got something, and got a draw, maybe.
Really? Arsenal against Shakhtar Donetsk, straightforward for Arsenal, is it?
No, not at all. I think Shakhtar are a very strong side, and with Arsenal's injury worries, I know Fabregas trained today, but I wouldn't, at the price they're at, I wouldn't be lumping on Arsenal.
I think, too, the main undeclared in the Premier League clubs that we saw last season, in other words, none of them got to the final. That's a decline. It's healthy, though. I think, if we are being more fearful, not just of Spain, of Italy and Bayern Munich last season, then that adds to the variety of the European Cup, and it badly needed that kind of revival.
What about Chelsea up against Spartak Moscow in the Luzhniki Stadium?
Well, it's a very similar situation. This one, Sean was thinking about travelling away, Chelsea were very, very flat at the weekend. I mean, they dominated the game.
Well, and yet, he's presumably going to be absent from this game as well, is he?
Well, I said so. And Nicolas Anelka, I think, well, that's fine. You've got Anelka, but he plays in a different way, and he can't. And the team doesn't always adapt to him being at centre forward. They can't hit him with the kind of crosses the way you would with Drogba. Chelsea were good at the weekend, but a bit bland. And in the end, they might well have lost that game.
All right.
I don't think it matters hugely. Both teams have won. They're opening two games, so you would imagine that they'll go through.
All right. One final thing then, Sean. You mentioned odds. What are the odds now on Man City taking the Premier League title?
Manchester City now third favourites. They've moved into 6-1 last time I looked.
All right.
Chelsea overwhelming favourites. You'd have to put on £20 to win about 12 back.
Right.
But they have come in, remember, not that long ago.
So who's second favourite then?
Manchester United, yeah.
Still
at 4-1.
All right. I mean, asking this not because I was going to have a flutter, just because I'm interested to see to what extent, although they may have... I don't know. Okay, the Blackpool game, were they lucky or was it the stuff of champions?
Well, I think possibly both. I mean, I've said before, I can't see City, with the way they play, with often three defensive midfielders, going and winning enough games, particularly against the worst ranked sides. However, yesterday, Mancini switched it around. He played two up front and they looked absolutely awful. But when they took Adebayor off and Silva came on, they play much more fluently.
Yeah.
And often, as you say, winning championships is often about winning ugly and winning when you're not playing well. And
can I come back to my negative minute? Because it struck me talking about being second favourites. Let's say Rooney either goes or continues playing in a vapid, ineffective manner. Mm. I think it tends to expose some decline in the Manchester United ranks. I don't see, in general... who's going to do it if Rooney doesn't? And that to me explains why the points total is not all that great at the moment.
Who was the crazy fool who in our opening part of the season suggested they wouldn't make the top four?
You were.
Was that me?
Yeah. Genius.
Interesting. All right then. It'd be interesting if he did go to join Tevez, who's now scored 28 of City's last 60 goals. Wow, that was the last big striker to leave Old Trafford under Sir Alex's watch.
I'm sure I remember thinking he's a hard-working striker who wouldn't score that many. It shows my brilliant judgment, though, doesn't it?
He really is hungry for it, isn't
what
he?
What connoisseur I am.
And would you say the City are now the likeliest destination? I mean, mad though that sounds. Is it not worth even speculating?
No, I think it is, because I think if City were to come in and say, here's £50 million, and there were no other bids of that type on the table, then I think United have a really difficult decision. They can have someone that, if Rooney still wants to leave, come... January, do they just have him moping around, or do they take the 50 million and then, well, they'll probably use it to pay off most of their debt, but ideally have some of that to spend on some new players?
The other question is, would Rooney find it bearable to play in Manchester? Wouldn't his life be? It'd be like Morris Johnson to the power 10, wouldn't it, to in Glasgow?
But then he switched from, I remember the abuse he got when he switched from, it's not Everton to Man United.
Yeah, but this is bigger still, isn't it?
Big Banana Feet says, what are the odds on a swap deal? Rooney and Torres in January. What'll you give me? Sean frowning at that one. Certainly all happening, isn't it, in this crazy Premier League. We'll be back on Thursday with reaction to the Champions League games and look forward to another exciting round of fixtures in England. Hopefully you'll be joining us for that. Many thanks in the meantime to Andy and Sean and Kevin and you there at home. We'll see you a little bit later in the week.
Okie dokie, later wankers.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.